Hi, this is Simon Saltzman, Outer Critics Circle president, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
On the 12th annual Dave's Gone By Total Theater Tony Awards special, here with someone who has actually co-hosted the show in person years back when we were doing this on Long Island. He is still with us more than in spirit, but in voice, calling all the way from New Jersey. He is the president of the Outer Critics Circle. He is also a writer for CurtainUp.com and writes about New York and New Jersey theater for US 1 newspapers. He is our beloved Simon Saltzman, and he's back with us once more. Hello, Simon. Welcome.
Well, welcome to you, and good morning to you, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, anytime. And first of all, you wanted to talk before we get to the Tony Awards, because we're talking about that with everybody. You're the president of the Outer Critics Circle, so remind us what that is, and you just had your big awards ceremony, like, you know, a week or so ago. So tell.
Okay, great. Well, you know, the Outer Critics Circle, it's composed of about 81 members who cover the New York theater for publications and media, mainly outside the metropolitan area. And, you know, we're the first of the major award organizations to announce both the nominations and then the winners.
So do you like to get the jump on everybody else? Is that sort of the idea?
Well, it's not the idea, but we've always been first. We come before the drama desk and the Tonys, and I always like to say humorously, you know, well, they usually repeat what we do.
Sometimes.
But you know, what's great about the Outer Critics this year was that we were a Hamilton free zone, as we awarded that mammoth hit multiple awards last season, and therefore was not eligible for this year's awards. I mean, cause that was the path for Bright Star to win Outstanding New Broadway Musical, for many performers and artists who were not connected with Hamilton to win. That was good news for many shows. So since we talked, there were a number of new and really excellent shows that posted closing notices, such as the really charming Tuck Everlasting and the compelling but rather gruesome American Psycho. So hard to see those shows close because they had many great qualities. But, you know, we had many stars celebrating with us at the awards gala. Jessica Lange from Long Day's Journey and Steve Martin and Edie Brickell, the composers from Bright Star, among many others. But
well, what were some of your favorite?
I'm the proudest of the OCC for not being influenced by producing groups, unions, and theater owners, you know, as is the Tonys, which, as you know, critics are no longer included among the voters, which is really weird and strange and awful, I think.
Were you ever a Tony voter? I have never been, even though I was a critic, I was never a Tony.
I was years ago when they included second night critics into the voting, but they subsequently threw us out, and then the Tonys gave the boot to the main
first
thing critics, which is really strange to have an organization voting on excellence when there's so much influence outside the critical area, you know, just and so much of it is influenced by theater owners, you know, and producers and industry.
And people who book
there's
tours.
There's a conflict of interest there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have to go into that. I don't want to.
Well, can I ask what your favorite moment was from the Outer Critics Circle Awards ceremony that you were at?
Oh, it's the most, I think there's a German word, gemütlich. It's the party that many of us consider the most joyous and happy and fun part awards party, because everybody's a winner. You know, we announce the winners early. No stress, there's no tension. Everybody's there to party. It's a wonderful dinner. It's a Sardi's restaurant.
Did someone give a particularly memorable or funny speech?
Well, I'll tell you the most memorable thing was that we awarded a special award to lyricist Sheldon Harnick.
Oh.
And, you know, he's 91 years old. And I went to a lecture by him weeks ago in Maplewood, New Jersey, at the library. He got up there and he talked. He brought two of the members of the cast of Fiddler on the Roof and talked for an hour about his experiences on the stage, mainly dealing with the incorrigible Zero Musk in the original production. But he was funny and delightful. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to ask Sheldon if he'd like to be a presenter at this year's awards. I went down to him after the program, and I said, would you like to be a presenter? And he said, sure, just speak to my agent, you know.
Well, yeah.
Of course, I did immediately, and it was all yes, yes, yes after that. And you would not believe how charming and delightful and spry this man is.
Oh, I would believe it. I have to tell our listeners that, of course, we interviewed Sheldon Harnick on Dave's Gone By just a couple of years ago. It's a marvelous interview, and you can all go hear it at our archives at davesgoneby.com. But we have to move on to the Tony Awards now.
Right.
Where, well, yeah.
You know, the Tony category, you asked me to talk about outstanding musical revivals. Let's see what I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, nobody should be surprised. Well, if She Loves Me comes out on top, it was rapturously received by a majority of the critics, save one, me.
Uh-oh. All right. What problem did you have with She Loves Me?
Oh, you know, I felt it was too much glitz and lacked the old world charm that particular show needs, and there was some horrible sound amplification that ruined much of the pleasure for me. I always gripe about sound, but when it comes to this particularly wonderful musical, it almost destroyed it. The electronic enhancing of the human voice was, and that's an operetta. We want to hear beautiful voices singing beautifully,
yeah.
And it became shrill and harsh. And I don't want to belabor that. That's a subject. That's a separate subject. It's something that bothers me a lot in the theater today.
I absolutely agree
elements,
with
but I was very disappointed, and I know I stand alone, but I think it's a shoe-in for the best. It's competing with Fiddler on the Roof, which in my estimation is maybe the greatest musical of the 20th century. And this particular revival is stunning, has some wonderfully new elements, doesn't destroy or distort the original intent of the show, but what can I say?
It's
wonderful. It's wonderful and wonderful.
But does it stand where? I mean, I've seen a bunch of Fiddlers myself. I'm sure you have. Where does it stand against the last couple of Fiddler revivals that they've done?
Well, you know, the last Fiddler was sort of very.
What did we say? Goyish? What was the word?
I called it a goyish Fiddler on the Roof. It didn't. It sort of played down the Jewish aspect of it, but although it's certainly the theme is universal, people displaced, this particular production emphasized the displacement of the people and also kept the Jewish history very intact, was beautifully staged. It has heart, humor, and it has a universality that reaches out to all people everywhere. You know, Danny Burstein, probably the most splendid Tevye I've seen. I mean, going back to, I saw the original with Zero, and it was great and memorable. But Danny is absolutely
terrific. Wow.
I want to go back to the revival of, or bring up the revival of Spring Awakening.
Wasn't that wonderful?
I loved originally, and this was absolutely stunning. It included members of the Deaf West Company, and they shadowed the speaking and singing players, playing the same characters. I mean, it was jaw-droppingly beautiful to see, beautiful to hear. I have a whole new respect for the show itself. That, to me, was maybe one of the most beautiful theater experiences of the whole season. Now, we shouldn't dismiss...
Yeah, you're almost dismissing Color Purple, where that has maybe the outside track, because nobody liked the original Color Purple about a decade ago, and people are saying that this is terrific. How did you feel about Color Purple?
Well, this production, I tell you, has the audience stopping the show throughout with cheers, not just the curtain call. It's certainly a minimalist production, as John Doyle is famous for doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically chairs, a few odd set pieces. No big lavish scenery moving on and off, and no huge chorus. The staging is very effective, but it's the performances that are dynamic. And I'm going to repeat, I've never sat to a show that the audience stood and cheered during the show. You know, usually it's becoming very common. It was becoming commonplace for audiences to stand up after every show. I don't. It's a really strange phenomenon that's occurring, and that's another subject. I think the fact that theater prices are so big, people feel they have to...
Yeah, it's an event. People want to applaud themselves for being able to afford going to a special event.
No, absolutely true. Absolutely true. I think She Loves Me is going to...
win.
And, you know, it's always been the critics, darling. Audiences don't always cotton up to it. They just... I don't know. Maybe it's the title... that they don't know, but it's a hard sell for some reason. But this production is pretty, but again, it was a little too glitzy for my taste.
Sure, and too loud and badly.
Yeah.
Mixed.
Now, I want to say something else about the theater.
Sure.
You asked me to go see your play, The Miracle of Long John's.
Yes.
I had a good time.
I would hope so.
You are a very talented and creative guy. And, it's certainly an audacious play. You certainly deal with a subject that that has not been covered before in the theater. You know, and it may not be all be for all tastes, but it's certainly filled with the filled. I'm using that word with the unexpected.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into detail, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
But thank you for inviting me to see it. It was wonderful to see you. I don't see you very often in New York and on stage. And you're a wonderful performer, and I had a good time. And thank you for including me.
Well, thank you for coming to my show, and thank you for saying nice things about it on the air, that I will quote from you certainly on the website. And thank you even more, year after year, for joining us for our Tony Award special on the radio here at Dave's Gone By. Always a joy, always a pleasure. Hope to see you next time in New York.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it. We had a great meal together, by the way.
Yes, we did. Yeah, no, I mean, it's
Gotta do it again.
Have a great one, man.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.